Good evening, everybody. Tonight, we will be going into the Zohar inside for the philosophical background that will make the Zohar easier to understand. I would refer you to the last two recorded sessions. Make it tonight. We'll just read the Zohar inside, and reading from the sources on the inside is it gives a special depth of emotion that so if there'll be some concepts that can only be understood from the last two sessions that we spoke outside. But at least, here we're going back to the source, and we are, and you'll see it's like, it talks about like a love story, between, the neshama and the guf. And of course, the neshama, as it were, is kind of, for lack of a better word, torn between two loves. It's love of the guf and it's love of God. So now for tonight, we're going to read the Parashat, the Medrash Hanelam, which is book that was incorporated into the Zohar. The Medrash Hanelam is printed in the Zohar and Chayesara. And we're starting in the part, the Medrash Hanelam and Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And it talks about, the formation of man. So we're going to start in the middle of the discussion. Just trying to find a place. Okay, we'll start from here. Tochazi, come see. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, said Rabbi Yehuda, Diukna de Adam Arisha Shaprusa Avakizar Drakiye La de Al Gabe Shar Rakiye. Right, the original form of Adam and his beauty was like a heavenly glow. And a heavenly glow that was above all other firmaments. You know what it was like? The original glow of Adam was like the hidden light that is, the oragonus that Hashem hid for the future. Right? Lamala Mezan Ainan Vlemever Pikudai Lovid Hai Vitka E Bau Itra Be Yilki Tirsev Osha Shamal Bavla Raso. So the Rebosha sometimes by giving man so much, right, giving him such power that sometimes causes his downfall. As an example of that, sometimes Akash Kru gives a man wealth, right? And of course, the boss is not purposely trying to trip you up. He gives you tremendous power, but tremendous power could be used or misused. So Adam Rishon, with his tremendous heavenly level, that sadly he misused because he sinned, and that caused tremendous damage to himself and cosmically. And says the Zohar, we have a little bit of something reminiscent of that in our own lives, that Akash gives a person wealth. And that wealth is really to give him, the capacity to do more mitzvahs, right? But sometimes that wealth, could lead him astray and use it to buy bad things. And one bad business dealing, and one thing crooked leads to another, and greed begets greed. And that's what the pasuk says. Osher shomer lebal v'ra. Sometimes there's wealth you know, that's reserved for someone, but for that person's own, you know, disbenefit. So Yoav Loi Benin, Lama Lameo Flon, Orchid Kutchu, Metra Pitugrai. But you know, another example, having children. The Reboshim gives you children for the purpose of teaching them the ways of Hashem and to keep Hashem's mitzvahs. Kidamur Bavram, like we said by Avram Avinu, Ashir Tzavos Bar Vesu Achra Vishon Udachshem Lasat Staka. Right, that Hashem says in Parshas Vayera, I love Avram because he commands, you know, his children after him and all his household to keep the path of Hashem and to do charity and justice. But you know, when a person doesn't use his children, you know, not use, I didn't mean to say that, doesn't educate and get the nachas, the Yiddish nachas from the children. He just wants his children to make great the family name, you know, keep up the family name, you know, uses his children for self-aggrandizement. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him, you know, by denying him children, or his children get cut off from him. V'chein kehai gavna kad yoav kutshbu shabrusei tav ilah dam rishon lo. Lahu lama begin the mitzvah pesgoy meveru say lovedu kedain ella it gaube be laku by shapri rusa. So also when going back to Adam, right? Because we're going, we'll see that the others went full circle to restore what Adam lost. But Adam initially had this unbelievable spiritual power in his composition, and for the purpose of doing mitzvahs, and that with that tremendous power that he had, if he would have done the right thing, he could enhance the cosmos and make reality optimal, you know, with the mitzvahs that he would have done with having such power at his disposal, and that all caused his downfall, right? So, causes downfall, and he lost it, he forfeited it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Kad Barach Kutcha Brich Adam Rishon Ave Goylem. Right, so now when said Rav Yehuda, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he was just a golem, right? He was just a lump, right? So now we learned, and one could see this elsewhere in other sources in Chazal, including the Zohar, that lump was actually animate. You know, he was biochemically alive. We had this at the very beginning of this session, but we call Adam without a soul, even though he was perfectly biologically alive and even intelligent on a, you know, human level, you regular, standard, biological human intelligence, we call that golem. Golem means something that lacks its real shape, like a unrefined piece of metal that hasn't taken on a shape. It's called a golem, because our real form, our real glorious human form, we get from our neshama. So he was a golem. Adlo zark bei nishmasa. He was a golem until Hashem, you know, so long as Hashem had not thrown into him a neshama. Right. So then, when it came to giving man its his form, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the angels to give him this form of sixness, vayod bidmu, so, ending with a vav, ubit salmo, that there's a certain sixness to man, you know, like parallel to the six edges of the three dimensions. And that's why, by no coincidence, the one surviving child of Adam that's called vayoled bidmuso ubit salmo, his name was Shes. Shes in Aramaic means six, right? Like Shesh, right? So now, you know, so Adam Rishon, you know, he had that sixness to it, and this sixness made a comeback with Shes, right? When it says, the pasuk says, regarding Chase, right? Bit Muso, bit Salmo, and it's called that Chase was like, as it were, needed from the same dough as Adam. He got the same shape. Precursor for discussing in depth the relationship of body and soul. So again, this Zohar refers to the pasuk that we learned about earlier in this series, that Gomri Roe Necha, right? My unrefined form, Hashem, you saw. Riatabo Lasas, the Dhamma, and you looked into it to make replicas of it. Vasukha Kwami Kasevu, and on your book, all of them will be written. My Kula Delo Natru Maidu Evlon Kutra Brichlon, Vitarma, all those who will be written in the book, means the history books, those, do I understand, Zohar, those who did not keep, conduct their lives in line with their glorious human form, and therefore forfeited that form, and forfeited their place in history, it'll be written in your book, like there's such a thing called, not just Sifron Shel Tzikim, there's Sifron Shel Rishayim, they'll all be written in your book, all those that did not keep what Hashem gave them, that glorious form that Hashem gave them, and they were taken out from the world. All right, Tana Samar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ashkach Tzas Matron Avei Laila V'chol Chad V'chad Islei In Yonah the Kutcha Brichu B'Bar Nash. Right, I have found that, as the Gemara says in Brachos, there are three mishmoros, right? There are three guardings, three changes of the guards during the light, during nighttime, and by each and every one, there is something. There's a different type of dealings between the neshama of man and Hashem, right? As the Zohar goes on to explain. When a person is asleep, says the Zohar, his neshama leaves him. The Ramchal explains this in Derech Shem to mean not leave in the same way as death, but there is a certain separation, and the neshama is somewhat unfettered from the body. The connection is loosened, but the body's not dead. But the connection is loosened, and the sleeping person is like a golem. A sleeping person is, again, like a lump of flesh, animate, but a lump of flesh, because his intelligence, certainly the influence of the neshama, is not to be seen, demonstrable when the person's asleep. Right? So when a person sleeps, his golem is asleep on its bed, and his neshama goes up in every night, kame kucha brichu, and stands before God. So now if this is the neshama of a righteous person, when he goes up to heaven, when he's asleep, they have simcha with him, right? And if not, if he was a rasha that day, they reject him. He is rejected. So as I'm speaking, I know the Ramchal explains this Zohar in the Derech Hashem, and he says that this could be the explanation for good dreams, or having bad dreams, or having no dream, right? The Gemara says that a person goes without a certain amount of time with no dream at night is a rasha. Why should that be? Because dreams are what part of the stimulus that makes dreams is your interaction of your neshama with the spiritual entities, because the neshama is free to interact with spiritual entities. If you're having no dream, that means no one wants to talk to you. No one wants to talk to you. It means you must be a bad guy. So that's what the Zohar is saying over here. If you're bad, you're pushed away. Now, of course, you could be having a bad dream because your neshama is falling into bad company, you're falling in with the forces of evil, or you're being bullied, as it were, by the Malachi Chabolah. But what is most interesting is what Chazal say, to go without a dream at all is called a rasha, and that's what the Zohar over here is describing, because no one wants to talk to you. Now, Dachinei Labar, they push him outside. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ma'idech Siv, and now says Rav in the name of Rav, What is that that's written in the Pasuk in Shir Hashir? Hishbati, Hashem Mitzrayim, I make you take an oath, daughters of Jerusalem. Im Titzvah Dodi Matkos Chosov, if you see my beloved, know what you should tell him. Tell him that I'm lovesick for him. Right? Amar Pinchas, Amar Reb Yehuda. So said Reb Pinchas, in the name of Reb Yehuda. Hishbatchem b'nosraim, what is Hishbatchem b'nosraim? I make you swear, children, the daughters of Jerusalem. Haneshama omeres, v'osam haneshamas hazochos li'kanes Yerushalayim shalmala, v'em nekros b'nos Yerushalayim. This neshama that's floating around, the neshama of the sleeping person, if it sees those other neshamas, that merit to go into Yerushalayim Shomala, the heavenly Jerusalem, and that's why they're called Benos Yerushalayim, the daughters of Yerushalayim, because they're allowed to enter the Yerushalayim Shomala, the heavenly Yerushalayim, right? They're called the daughters of Jerusalem because they are merit to go in there. If you see my beloved, which is Hashem, right? Tell him I'm lovesick for him. Rav Amar, Zezi Vaspakler Shomala. Right, so, Rav, as I understand, is always saying that the Benos Yerushalayim is the reflected aura of heaven. So, Ma Tagidu Lo, what you tell him, Shachos Avani, Leros Miziv, Shol, Istofet Silo, right? I am lovesick to also enjoy that heavenly aura, right, of Hashem, and to to be under His shadow. Now, Rav Huna Amar, right? Rav Huna says Shecholas Avani. He says the difference. What's Cholas Avani? I am like lovesick. Also, Chuka Vakisha Kasafti Bolam Ala Kol Lefikach Ani Chola, right? So it says that, I'm lovesick. I have all these things that I've desired in the world, right? All these things that I've desired, and therefore I am sick. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but now this is the point that we want, the transition that the Zohar is taking now. Rabbi Yehuda says a whole different pshat than everyone else before him. Zu'ava shoheves ha'neshama laguf. I am lovesick. The neshama is saying, I'm lovesick for the body, for my body. Right, all those days that was decreed upon the body to be dead, I am lovesick for that body, and this is where the Zohar takes a transition to tie it in to Parshas Chayesar, which talks about Sarah's death and Abram mourning Sarah's death. That's the neshama missing its body. So Rav Yehuda comes and gives this whole preamble, this whole intro in the Zohar, and puts a whole new spin on it. Chola sahava, right? The neshama is lovesick. It's lovesick for the body, right? And with this, the Mishnah transitions to talk into, Sarah and Abraham, and how all their interactions paralleled neshama and guf, and was a restoration for the glory that Adam lost. So that's what the Mershon Elam goes on to say. After Rav Yehuda put this spin on it, right? Ma'aksiv Yakom Avram al Pnei Meso. Avram got up from the face of his dead one, which refers to Sarah, right? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, said you the name of Rav. Ma'aksiv b'pasuk kodem zeh. What's the pasuk right beforehand, right? Before Avram gets up from his deceased to take care of her burial. In the pasuk right before it says, "Vatama Sarah beKiryas Arba hi Chevron Beretz Kanan." Sarah died in the neighborhood of Four, Kiryas Arba, right, which is Chevron in the land of Canaan, right. So what's that referring to? Rav Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Yitzchak said that Rav Yochanan said, "Bara Kutcha Brichu LaAdam." Hashem created man, right, and He gave him four distinct aspects four different aspects in the body, right? And we'll discuss this, you know, this, but it's as simply as alluding to the four elemental powers of earth, water, air, and fire. So now these things that are, you know, these separate powers, you know, that seemingly should not be unified in the body, they are mechuborim beguf, right? The body actually pulls them together, makes unity amongst the elements. So Rav Yitzchok says, well, look, if you could put the emphasis on how the elements, in essence, want to remain separate. What's the proof? The proof is that when a person dies, he breaks down into his elements. You see that they like want to revert back to being separate from each other. Right? In the Adam, they are unified to make up his body, right? The four elements. Right, but is the stress on their unity? Is the stress on their divisibility and how they are separate from each other? You see, that that they yearn to separate with a person's, you know, breakdown after he's dead, you know, his decay and his disintegration. Right. So and Zohar's alluded to an amazing thing. You know, we spoke about the, referring back to things that we learned together, we spoke about the neshama being a trans-dimensional creature that is capable of creating cosmic unity, you know, and that's of the spiritual realms, created with Haras Panim. The Zohar is saying that that's also the miracle of the body of man. The body of man also is creating unity from the separate and distinct physical forces. Now, that unity doesn't hold together because the body doesn't hold together, but the body, so long as it's alive, right, is creating unity from the earthly, amongst the earthly elements. Just like the neshama is inclusive of all the heavenly, you know, it, the earthly, which, you know, physicality by nature is every distinct force to itself, and everything pulls in its own direction. The miracle of the human body is to create unity, you know, amongst the diverse and separate forces of physicality. So that's where Yehuda goes back and says, "Hamachuborim beguf bechayav," right? That all these elements are connected to the body in his life. So yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak, you're putting the emphasis that these elements, you know, yearn to be separate from each other. Each one wants to go in its own way, right? And that's that could be as evident, right? And you know what the undeniable fact that we see when a person dies, he breaks up into, he decomposes. Decomposition. He separates all the particles, separate into their most basic elements, but man in his life creates unity. And we have to try, that's the tremendous tikkun that man alive, the body alive makes unity within physicality. Huh? So, Masha record, so now, going now with what we said, Sara, now the Medrash is going to learn, is going on the guf. So, Vatama Sara died, Zeha guf, that's the body. Bekirya Sarba died in the neighborhood of four, Elu Arba Yesodos, these are the four, the neighborhood of four are the four basic elements of earth, water, air, and fire. He Chevron, but it was Chevron. What's Chevron? Shayu mechuborim begufo bechayav. These four elements were unified. They were connected in the body when the body was alive. So to be alive is a tremendous tikkun. You know, just the body being alive creates unity within physicality. So Beres Khan Sha'ab Ba'olam Hazeh Habokhar Adam Bizmamut. But of course, this is all in Eretz Canaan in this world, that, you know, man has very little time to spend in, right? But this is alluding to that in the future, by Tchiyas HaMesim, which is our, you know, and that's the last, everyone agrees, that is the last move in physical history. The question is whether the body will then move on to Olam Haba, or, you know, if the body disappears because everything else physical disappeared. You know, those are machlokas d'Rambam and Mekubalim, but either way, you know, but the last stage of physical history is Tchiyas HaMesim. Everything is destined, you know, all the decomposition is destined to recompose, recombine and reunify. Right? So in this lifetime, unity is something fleeting, right? We try to hold it together as long as we can. And ultimately death, you know, there's fragmentation. And then even the body fragments back to its basic elements. But as long as a person's alive, he's creating unity. And that unity makes the comeback by Tchiyas HaMesim. But now let's go on to how the Zohar now discusses, you know, when a person dies, how traumatized the body and soul are after living together and fighting together their whole lives, like marriage. How badly they miss each other when they have to separate. But of course, this is only true by the tzaddikim, as we will learn. Right? So he says, "Ve'avo Avram lispel l'Sara livkosa." Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry over. I know that now, this is what we've learned, that kol shivas hayamim nashlam pokeres legum misabelos of, this alludes to neshama, the first 7 days that the person is dead, the nefesh, the soul of a person, goes to visit the body and cries over it. Hado dechsev, and this is what's alluded to in the pasuk in Iyov, ach besaro olav yichav v'nafshalav tisabo, right, his flesh, you know, is in pain, but his soul is in mourning. They talk about as the flesh is decomposing, the soul cries over that. The soul really misses the body, right? This is like what's alluded to. Abraham, referring to the neshama, came to cry over Sarah and to eulogize her. Abraham, you have to read the psukim. Abraham, code name neshama. Lispo lissara, to eulogize Sara, zaguf Sara is code word body, right? So you have to read Parshas Chayes Sara and the whole interaction between Avram and Sara. Every time it says Avraham, think neshama. Every time it says Sara, think guf, right? Amar Rav Yitzchok, b'shoash neshama zochav olamokam malasa. So when says Rabbi Yitzchok, at a time when a neshama is virtuous, meaning that, you know, the person lived as a tzaddik, so the neshama goes to its, you know, high place in heaven, right? Haguf shochev b'sham v'yanuach al mishkavo. So you should know the body also, if the neshama has it good in heaven because he was a tzaddik, that sends energy that protects the body, and the time in the grave is not as uncomfortable as one would imagine, as it's going through decomposition. No, because the powerful heavenly neshama leaves power behind in the body. Right? So the guf shochev b'shalom, you know, the body lays in peace, right, and rests, you know, on its bed. Hadach siv, as the pasuk says, Yavo shom yanucha mishvosam, they come in peace, you know, referring to the deceased, the tzaddikim, they come in peace and they rest on their beds. Halach v'nichol ma'alach v'nichol ma'aritzok, ha'nashem olech, nichol ma'akom ha'edin ha'garnzla, ma'ay mashu yudah amirah, me'ay mashu nichol dechsiv, behei. Right, so now, so the Zohar dashes it that, you know, the neshama goes to a place alluded to by the hay, nochach, opposite the guf, it goes to the heavenly hay, right? And there, you know, so if the neshama goes to that high place, so parallel to that, you know, the greater the neshama is, the better the body that's dead and in the grave has it, you know, the more the tranquil and painless the transition of, you know, to decompose in order to be recomposed with only good matter by Tchiyas HaMesim. And that's by the tzaddikim. So the tzaddikim, not only does their neshama have it good, their guf has it good also. Right? You know, as good as can be under the circumstances. U'b'shash eina zoicha, but at a time if the neshama is not virtuous because the person lived his life as a rasha, v'ru'i l'kabal oncha. Right, so now the neshama has to go and receive its punishment. It's not worthy, right, to be in heaven. So now it's, when the neshama's in a high place in heaven, the guf has a good also. But when the neshama is banished from heaven and has to be, right, punished, So halachas mishumas, it goes in like a depressed state. Vakesh choyom laguf lekever, and it, you know, it's got nowhere to go. But where does it go? It goes to visit the body. It's been chased out of heaven. Now for the neshama, but this is what we're learning, right? For the neshama to go to a high place in heaven after a person has died is not just good for neshama; it's good for the body, because they're connected, right? So if the neshama has a good, the body has a good. Right, as good as could be under the circumstances, and the transition that happens in the grave is one that's as painless as can be. Right, but if the neshama has it bad, right, the guf doesn't have it good either. But interesting thing: so the neshama has been banished from heaven. Where does it go hang out? Where's home? It goes to the kever. It goes to the grave and it visits the body every day. Right. All right. We're out of time for tonight. There's so much more to do. There's a lot more to do and a lot more to explain, but we will call it here for this evening. Okay. Thank you very much. And to understand what we're learning now in greater depth, please refer. You have to review the series in general, but particularly the previous two sessions that we had. Everyone, have a good night. I'll see you all on Thursday when we will conclude the Zohar's discourse about body and soul, that even in death they do not part.